Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
Congratulations, it's Friday and you are off work. 5 o'clock fire for you, and luckily for you, old Dirty and Show have the latest for you. And the latest here is really, really good news and updates from, many would say, the two best pitchers in the Astros organization. Here first, Justin Verlander gives an update about where he is recovering from Tommy John.
I'm throwing at 90 feet right now, feeling great. The timeline's impossible. I have to listen to my doctors. I have to listen to my body. But the hard thing about this is it's one of those surgeries that they told me you can't overpush it, which is against my nature, right? I always try to, like, you know, anytime I've been injured in the past, it's like, okay, what can I do to get back as quick as possible? This time is like, hey, you need to make sure you follow the protocols and not try to get too far ahead of yourself, because you can really ruin the whole surgery. And we're looking at, you know, the end of a career. So first and foremost, I want to make sure I hit every check mark every step of the way and not try to look too far ahead.
Justin Verlander said he wants to make sure he's hitting every mark and is in the proper schedule right now. Not sure what that means in terms of return potentially this year, but it is good to hear at least there's no setbacks and Justin Verlander is where he needs to be in his recovery.
Yeah, look, I did a little bit of digging, you know, after hearing he was going to speak today, and I think Brian McTaggart of MLB.com, he actually put out an article right after Verlander had the surgery and mentioned in there that it's a 12 to 14 month rehab. And if you simply just do the math, obviously 12 months would put him, the 12 month mark would land right in the middle of the playoffs this year if the Astros were to make it. So, you know, I don't want to make any big bold statement out there, but it, as an Astros fan, it sure is exciting to think that this group could make the playoffs, be in the middle of a run, and to some capacity possibly have Verlander make an appearance, if indeed it was a game that was big enough and he saw fit to risk it, I guess, even though I don't think he would risk anything. I think he'd get clearance by the doctors and then do it if the opportunity presented itself. But, boy, as a fan, man, to think that this crew could scratch and claw and figure out what the rotation is going to look like and what the pen might look like and get everything rocking and rolling as they have the last few years going into the playoffs, and then get an old shot in the arm from Verlander,
he's a lift if you just get him in the bullpen. Like, if he's a guy that you can run him out there to get some.
Yeah, look, there's no question about it. And, look, I don't know what the likelihood of it is. It doesn't sound like
he would look like either.
It doesn't. Well, I mean, the thing is this isn't one of those injuries or one of those situations where you just sit around for a year. I mean, he builds up, and I don't know how much he's throwing off of a mound he's going to be doing, and I don't know exactly what the buildup looks like, but if he's already throwing from 90 feet and he feels good, I would think that getting closer to the 12-month mark, he would actually be ramping it up just a little bit. So it's not like he's going to be getting off the couch and putting the uniform on for the first time in October. And so I'm an Astros fan, and I know that thinking that might even be a possibility is sounds fun as hell to look forward to possibly and follow for sure. So Good news from the on the Verlander front.
So that was Verlander, and then Framber Valdez, Dusty Baker. He said that Framber Valdez threw a live BP against hitters today. He threw about 20 pitches, and his command was good, according to Dusty Baker. Dusty said that was and that is the best news he's heard in a while. Framber Valdez seems to be they've been saying he's been ahead of schedule, and now he's facing hitters today, and his command was good, which you gotta feel good that he's getting closer to coming back with the Astros.
This is one that I have no hesitation to look forward to, and I mean the beauty about this is obviously he's one of the key starters once he gets healthy. The beautiful part of it is show is that that's gonna. I would think that's going to push several guys that at one point in time were competing for a start and one of the five starters in the rotation. It's going to push them into that extended relief role out of the bullpen, which obviously the Astros could use some help there and use options there. And so whether you're talking about Kenny Manuel, you're talking about Odorizzi, you're talking about what's my man that just started not the past game but the one before. Garcia. Garcia. I mean, you could have several guys in that bullpen that at one point were competing for one of the starting spots in the rotation. So the trickle-down effect of getting Framber Valdez back is something to look forward
to
for sure as well.
It's huge.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Astros, they host the Blue Jays tonight after winning their big game against the Yankees. They went 3-3 on the road trip. They look to try to get off to a good start tonight on this homestand against the Jays. George Springer was scheduled, what you would have thought he was going to return and make his return to Minute Maid. He is not in the lineup awaiting an MRI. Here's George Springer earlier to the media.
It's definitely weird. You know, I've never been to the away side. Didn't know where to go when I got here today. But it's a pretty cool, I guess. You know, I wish I was able to play and you know, help the team. But it is what it is. You know, obviously, I'm extremely close with a lot of guys over there. And we're really, you know, I grew up with all of them. And, you know, the chance to see Mike, obviously, is awesome for me. You know, he's one of my great friends. The friendships that I developed, you know, from Eddie at the front gate to the clubhouse attendants, you know, there's a lot of people here who were great to me and my family, and you know, I'll always be thankful for that.
All right, that is George Springer, and I know a lot of fans. I was actually going to be excited to potentially watch that. I know a lot of fans have to be bummed that they don't get to show the love to George Springer like they wanted to. Of all the players here in Houston that have left or have threatened to leave here recently, I feel like George Springer is the one that is most beloved, that people here in Houston don't have as much of an issue with.
Bittersweet, right? I mean, you'd like to see the guy play, you'd like to show him love, but at the same time you hate that he's in a different uniform and you hate that he could do to you what we've been watching him do to Astros opponents for years. And so, yeah, bittersweet. But the good thing is, show he's in the stadium. He's in the ball. He's at the ballpark. He's at Minute Maid. I know earlier you were worried about whether he was even here or not, or the fact that he wasn't going to play. I mean, he's there's video out there of him, you know, hugging and patting on the back all the guys he played with and them chopping it up. So he's here. There's a possibility the MRI could come back negative and he could play tomorrow.
He needs a video and I believe a curtain call. Like, you know, the curtain call where you force him so – they clap so long, you force him to come out, and he's got to do the curtain call.
Really?
Is that too far off?
That will for sure happen. No doubt.
A curtain call or a video?
The video and then the curtain call.
I don't know if it'll
Let's
for
not
sure.
get carried away with the curtain call.
Oh, are you kidding me?
World Series MVP,
It should be the video. This is the
I'm,
order.
I'm with the – oh, you – okay, no, I got you. I thought you meant just randomly. You mean no.
The video's played. Video's played.
I stand corrected.
George Springer – And you keep gotcha. Going and you keep going till the son of a gun comes out
gotcha.
And he tips his head.
My bad.
I feel like it should be a Springer. It should be a chant, I believe, until he
it'll
gets
happen.
The hell out. I don't know if it'll happen, but it should.
I thought you meant just like randomly after he hits a home run to win a game or something. You just keep clapping until he comes back on the stage.
Randomly with two outs in the third. Hey, let's get him out.
Well, that's why I said hell no. I didn't know what the hell you were talking about. You're talking about after the video, the combination of the two. I got
get
you.
Get him up, get out, make him get out there and tip his cap.
I got you. I got you.
Because you got to be able to get love.
Yes, I'm here for that, and I do think it would happen.
I'm nervous.
You think they have a video?
For sure. Better. They will. No doubt. I'd bet a large amount of money that they do.
If they don't have a video, I will be sorely disappointed in the Houston Astros.
Someone needs to be fired if they don't have a video.
Okay, now, I don't want people losing their jobs.
I don't normally call for jobs.
Let's celebrate the opponent.
Let's be real.
I'm not trying to – I'm just celebrating. He's in an Astros uniform. I'm a little concerned.
I'm trying to remember if Emmett had – we played the Cardinals, I think, after
– If y'all didn't have a video for Emmett? Jerry wouldn't do that to him. I don't believe that.
If James Harden's ass got a video, George Springer better have a video.
He deserves it. And the MVP of the 2017
World Series. Boy, you guys are really putting pressure on the Astros organization.
Well, they better do it.
What if it just didn't get planned? And what if it's tomorrow night?
That's unacceptable.
Someone needs to be fired.
That's unacceptable.
Wow, fired, huh?
You know
he
what?
Damn it. Deserves it.
You're right.
Let's go, show.
You're right. Somebody needs to get canned. If they didn't plan this thing out for George's return, somebody needs to get canned if there's not a video. I you know what?
What about since he's not playing tonight? Is that an issue?
No, that's an issue. It's not. No, because it looks like he may not play in this series. So they've got to get it. I'm really concerned. Do the Jays come back to Houston? I don't know. I think this may be their only trip to Houston. So you may not get to see Springer play.
Boy, you guys are really amped up about this Springer deal, huh?
Video saying,
and curtain call, huh?
Yes. I think if Altuve moved
everybody
on, same
gets a trophy.
Thing. Los, obviously. Not everybody.
We
not
just celebrate the opponent. Come on in here.
I'm not calling for Evan Gaddis to get a curtain
call. I hope they give him a curtain call, get him a nice little video up there, and more importantly, I hope they win the ball game.
I'm with you.
Love Gaddis.
5 o'clock fire.
How many people say I love Gaddis? How many Astros fans say that? The Texans, they made a move today. Yesterday, we had gotten reports they had brought in to visit Neville Hewitt, linebacker who was a former linebacker of the Jets and led them in tackles and started all the games last year. But they have now signed him to a one-year deal, according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Another inside linebacker, Clint. How do you feel about this move? 28 years old, Neville Hewitt.
Yeah, I love it. Going into his seventh year, actually, in the league. I mean, you're talking about an experienced guy that started a lot of football games. He's got a ton of experience in the league. And you know, I think this is a good sign for where the Texans are. I mean, a lot of guys are coming off injury. A lot of guys haven't played a whole hell of a lot of football over the last 2 years, and Neville Hewitt is a guy that was starting last year in the NFL, one of the starting linebackers in the NFL. Hell, every team only has three of them. There's less than 100 of them across the board, and he was one of them last year. That's a guy that you want competing for the starting jobs in your team. You want him on your special teams. You want him somehow involved in your game plan, it's in terms of the depth chart. So at the very least, I mean, that's the kind of guys you want to come in here and let them compete. They're cheap, but they're experienced. And former starter, I would think when those type of guys hit the streets, I would think the Texans are definitely interested. And so you got to believe that Neville Hewitt's a good sign to compete in camp and at the very least create some depth.
They've got a lot of depth there.
Well, look, there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of guys they've signed that don't have the resume of Neville Hewitt.
I agree with that. That's a position they were going to shore up.
Sure.
And they shored it up. From the text line, very right. I mean, they gave A.J. Hinch a video. I mean, if A.J. Hinch got a video, dadgummit, George Springer, who was the MVP in 17.
Okay, guys, okay, give him a video. I'm just not I'm not in the video department. I didn't think about the George Springer thank you video when he got back.
Better be a long video,
too. Good gosh.
Okay, I'm not talking about any length.
What else you want?
Maybe the whole seventh inning stretch, just the video for Springer.
Shut your
is that when you want to do it in the seventh inning stretch?
I want the whole seventh inning stretch.
I mean, it's a pregame deal, right?
It's before the game.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's pregame.
Before the game. Good Lord. You always take it too far. Always. Lord. All right. How big of a factor, or hell, should it be a factor, Davis Mills on what the Texans do in the 22 draft? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Clint. The biggest thought is Davis Mills. You drafted him with your first pick last Friday in the third round. It was your first pick that you had in the draft. James Palmer of NFL Network, he spoke and talked about the fact that, yes, he could be a factor in decisions that they make down the line at the quarterback position. Here's James Palmer.
So we thought with the 67th pick, so many needs on this team, where would you go with it? Well, quarterback is a bit of a surprise, but they had a smaller board than they've had in the past. They earmarked a couple of players, and this was definitely one of them. If they struggle this year, which many believe, you can get a chance to see Davis Mills probably play in the tail end of this 2021 season. And if you trade Deshaun Watson at any time between now and the trade deadline in October, you have an opportunity, guys, to be able to go see what this guy can do this season, perhaps, and have that play into how you're thinking about your quarterback position in 2022, because you still don't know probably at that point where it is going to be standing.
Clint, we've talked to several people who disagree with that. We've had a draft analyst on. We had Mark Ross from NFL Network, who goes the other way, to thought of that Davis Mills is not somebody that can really should make you factor in your decision next year. Do you agree with that?
No, hell no, I don't agree with it. I think Davis Mills is I agree with John McClain, an NFL Hall of Famer. We had him on earlier, and he said Davis Mills is the number one priority in the 2021 season to find out what he has so that he can so that the Texans know what to do with next year's draft. And I'll tell you what, so I'm closer to what James Palmer just said in terms of figuring out what Davis Mills has. Look, here's the reality of the situation is this. The one part of what James Palmer said that I'll push a little further, he said the opportunity may present itself for you to find out if Davis Mills can play. I don't think you should wait for the opportunity to present itself, right? I don't think you should wait till midseason and go, oh, well, okay, well, now this is the situation, so maybe now's a good time to play Davis Mills. I think you push the envelope with Davis Mills from Jump Street. I don't know when is the Texans rookie minicamp. It's got to be coming up pretty quick. Hell, I just saw
May
the Jets 14th, had theirs.
13th or
okay,
14th.
So it's coming up pretty quick. When the Texans have their rookie minicamp, I believe at that point in time moving forward, the rookies can actually stay in Houston and work out at the facility. Hell, they may already be able to do that. Whenever Davis Mills can legally be on the grounds of the Houston Texans campus, he should be there, and the organization should make it a priority to find out what the hell he's about and push him, push his limits in every sense of the phrase until he is ready, create the opportunity by pushing him and pushing the envelope with him. And when he's ready and when the timing's right, make sure you give yourself a decent sample size to help you best approach the draft next year. That's how important this is. It can't be, well, like I said yesterday, a couple days ago, well, we got Tyrod Taylor and he's going to be our starter, and man, we're going to try to get to 500, or we're going to try to win as many ball games as we can, and this is our best option available, and only way he can play his best football is if he gets X percentage of the reps. No, man, sorry, you don't have that luxury, right? Tyrod Taylor, you're a bridge the gap quarterback. You're going to get whatever percentage snaps that we say you're going to get. And we appreciate everything you bring to the table. We need you to be you, be a pro, and accept whatever it is we tell you the quarterback situation is going to be. To me, that's how this needs to be handled, Cho. And it's that important to this organization because it's going to dictate what they do with their draft picks next year.
Yeah, there's no way that you could make the pick where you made it without the thought process of, we're making this pick because we think there's a chance that this guy could be our guy. This could be the guy that we roll with. This could be the guy that's our quarterback that gives us a chance to win. Or you wouldn't, to me, you wouldn't take him with the first.
It can't be that simple. That's bad business. It can't be. You can't sit here this past weekend and go, yeah, man, our first pick in the draft is Davis Mills, is a third rounder, and we're going to take a quarterback out of Stanford, who some people had slated as the sixth best. We're going to get him as the eighth quarterback taken. Some people had him slated in the second round. We're going to get him in the third. You cannot make the decision to take that guy and then turn around immediately and go, we're not going to put any effort into figuring out what he can do. We're just going to draft another quarterback next year. Or regardless of what happens, we're going to draft another quarterback next year with that number one overall pick that we have. That's bad business. That don't even make sense. The more we talk about it, it doesn't even make sense. I mean, you've got to find out. There's no reason. There's no excuse. None whatsoever, regardless of what happens, that the Texans next February and March, let's say next March before the draft, they should know enough about Davis Mills to go, yes, this is our guy. We want to roll the dice with him. Or, nah, man, we got to go draft one of these other kids that's had a good last year of college ball, a good 2021 in college ball. That's not a stretch to say that they should know. I'm not going to sit here and try to predict what that is. I have no idea. But it's not a stretch to say that this – I don't care about staff. Nick Caserio should know.
I mean, it just has to be an emphasis, right? Like, when you made that decision, you have to do everything possible. And like you've said, if he's not ready, then that's your answer. But you've got to do everything possible to know. It's why we all were like, damn, this is why pre-draft we said they shouldn't take a quarterback here.
Agreed.
Because they just have so many other things to fill. And, man, when you make this decision,
yep,
there's pressure.
Because
when you make this decision, now, all right, with our first pick, the first draft pick, the first chance we have to add brand new talent that hasn't been in the league, the move we take without a first and second round pick is the quarterback. When you got to try to do everything you can to make sure that can have a chance to work.
And it's a super ballsy move. But as you're saying, when you make that decision, you're essentially making a 365-day commitment to figuring out what this guy's about.
Yeah, that's what I said. His leash isn't as long as Baker Mayfield when he was drafted.
Oh, no, it's not as long
as Mac Jones.
No.
But his lease is this year, and he should have – and you should plan it. Like I think, like you were saying, you should plan how he's going to be used, what he's going to be doing. All right, most normal rookies who are drafted in the third round make it, 20% of the snaps. But this rookie who's drafted in the third round will get 50%.
I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about, right, is when you're a quarterback. Like I was a backup quarterback my entire career in the league. And I never got to go with the starters, like in practice. In a quarterback competition, when just jobs were being decided, I didn't get to go with the ones at all. I didn't get very, very, very rarely. If I did, it was a mini camp somewhere. It wasn't in a true competition, right? When Parcells got the gig, he had a belief that if a quarterback screwed up, he would tell him, get the hell out, give me the next guy. It didn't matter who it was, when it was, right? Well, it was Quincy, Chad, and me, and Romo wasn't Romo yet, but he was there. But Quincy and Chad would screw up all the time, and I started getting run with the starters. I started getting run with Jason Witten, Larry Allen, Joey Galloway. I started getting run with all the ones, Flozell Adams, and all these. And I was like, damn! All of a sudden, the game slowed down. My pocket was clean, right? Guys were getting stalemated at the line of scrimmage instead of getting pushed into my face, right? Receivers were running crisp routes. Right, they were where they were supposed to be, when they were supposed to be there. Right, Jason Witten gave me his eyes every time a blitz happened. Right now, it wasn't, is he going to give it to me or not? And I'm holding the ball. It was, he gave me his eyes immediately, and the game's a lot easier. Right, you've got to give Davis Mills those kinds of opportunities to find out if he can play. You can't throw him out there with third stringers, guys that probably ain't going to make the team all of training camp.
That's a tough way to get an evaluation on what it really is.
There's such a difference in what. And that guy's ability to play, that it's unfair. And that's precisely why I'm so passionate about it. You cannot have Davis Mills running with the third stringers all of training camp while you're giving Tyrod Taylor starter reps to get him ready for a season that doesn't matter, and then turn around and draft a quarterback in the top 10 next year in a rebuilding process. That makes zero sense. The minute you decided to pick him in the third round, you've got to give him reps with the starters to see if he can play under the best case scenario, best circumstances, with all the support, with everybody knowing the game better than him, and let him try to catch up to them. That's the only way to move forward with him. To me, that's what the Texans have to do.
All right. It is the number one priority. The number one priority is finding out what you have with him, and damn sure he can have an impact on what the Texans do next year. The two big pitchers, if the Astros were able to find a way to get them and add them to this team, would absolutely change the way that they look. They have updates on those two guys. We'll let you hear those coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, the Astros take on the Blue Jays. George Springer is not playing, has an injury, but two updates that I think are pretty significant. One, Framber Valdez, Clint, he threw live BP against hitters today, threw about 20 pitches, and Dusty Baker said he's heard his command was good, and it's the best news in a while. We've talked about it, and maybe we haven't really looked at how big of a deal it is to have had him out of the lineup. And when he says the best news in a while, like, that had to be a piece that Dusty really expected and the Astros really expected to be a big part of their rotation. And their staff at times has been some of the question early in this early part of the season, and to potentially get him back sooner than later, that is enormous. And you can understand why Dusty says the best news in a while.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, the Framber Valdez is, I don't know that I got him slated as the ace as you do, but I know this. I know that, you know, he's in the top three for damn sure, and him being healthy would push, I think, some much needed help into the bullpen, some guys that would actually be able to help you and give you confidence to go that route as you get through the season, get late into the season, and ultimately get into the playoffs. And if you want to be at full strength, I think you need those extra arms in the bullpen. So, Framber Valdez coming back, yes, we all know he's got some big-time potential, and he can help this starting rotation and will help this starting rotation. But I'm telling you, man, the trickle-down in terms of where that will place other guys, whether you're talking about Garcia or you're talking about Odorizzi or you know, where, with Kenny Manuel. I know he went 8 2/3 the other night in what would be relief. He's the ultimate long reliever, but
yeah.
You know, you then have those guys either competing for that fifth spot, or you have them move into the pen as long relief, and that's, I mean, things shaping up that way before the playoffs start would be beautiful for the Astros, no question.
One thing that could be big for Framber is, look here, you could tell they've been saying it. He's been moving at a faster pace than he's been ahead of schedule the whole way. You'd hope they can go on a little run here over the next week or so. They've got Toronto, they've got the Angels, and they've got Texas, their next three series. And those are all winnable series. I think those are all teams that they're better than. They've got those next three series just to put in a space where you feel like you don't have to rush Framber back. Like, you want him to be completely right. Like, you want the finger to be as healed as possible, and you want him to work up to his arm strength that he needs to have. You just hope it doesn't go to a point where you're like, God, we gotta bring him back.
If for some reason COVID hits again, yeah, and the same thing that happened earlier in the season, yeah, that'd be a bad spot for them to backslide back into a position where, as we talked earlier, it was like you're digging a hole that you're going to have a hard time digging out of, and the manager has to end up making a decision with Framber Valdez that may rush him back. You're right. The next few series, man, it would be nice.
Because they got a chance. They can win. Those are winnable series against those teams. And I think, I think they're better than. And if they can go on a nice stretch there, who knows? Maybe you just want to have him, the ability to have him come back in the time that he needs to come back, and
no
not
question.
Feel like you've got to force him
no question.
To come back. So Framber Valdez throwing to live batters. Also, Justin Verlander, the highest paid player on the team, he gave an update
about how he's recovering through Tommy John surgery.
I'm throwing at 90 feet right now, feeling great. The timeline's impossible. I have to listen to my doctors. I have to listen to my body. But the hard thing about this is it's one of those surgeries that they told me you can't overpush it, which is against my nature, right? I always try to, like, you know, anytime I've been injured in the past, it's like, okay, what can I do to get back as quick as possible? This time is like, hey, you need to make sure you follow the protocols and not try to get too far ahead of yourself, because you can really ruin the whole surgery. And we're looking at, you know, the end of a career. So first and foremost, I want to make sure I hit every check mark every step of the way and not try to look too far ahead.
Let me give you this. Would you take this bet? Clint, say the Astros are in the World Series against the LA Dodgers.
Okay.
They're in the World Series. Do you think Justin Verlander is available to pitch?
Well, I mean, you look at the timeline. It's 12 to 14 months is what I read. And you got to believe, he said he feels great. Feels like he's ahead of schedule.
He's hitting every mark, yep.
Hitting every mark. And so, the thing that's interesting is, I wonder how much of his rehab on the back end, the last month or 2 months of his rehab, can he adjust to where he's actually throwing in a manner that he's preparing for possibly have an outing? Whether that's, obviously I wouldn't think it would be a start, but some kind of relief or get a few innings in. I don't know enough about the surgery. I've never had the surgery. I don't know enough about the surgery to know is when they hit the 12-month mark of and the doctors clear him and say, hey, you're ready to go, how close is he to actually being ready to go? If he's already throwing the ball from 90 feet, and he's – you know, we saw a video of him throwing – hell, it was over a month ago when he threw his first pitch.
Yeah, he's throwing the ball. Yeah.
I wonder how much – we need to get Brandon Bakke on and talk about this, but I wonder, you know, if that – whenever he gets cleared, say it's 12 months, and he gets cleared, the doctor says, all right, you're good to go. At that point, how much throwing had he done in terms of, like, really letting it eat, not just playing catch from 90
feet? Or how close is he to himself? Like,
right, how close is he to being ready?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it to know, but I know this as an Astros fan, I'm sure interested in following it and tracking it and hearing about it. That's for damn sure.
Just kind of understanding Justin Verlander a little bit. I bet you that's in his mind. I bet you in Justin's mind, there's a timetable or a thought. If these guys can get me to the playoffs, let's get in the playoffs. The further we could potentially go along, I feel like I can give something to help this team.
Right.
So
right.
It'll be interesting to see that. But that's the update. Two big pieces. One starter. It looks like at some point Framber Valdez sooner than later will join this team. And then there's the latest on Justin Verlander. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Oh, well, we've got requests from the text line. We've got to play. Somebody is getting hot. Somebody said they tried to call in, damn it. Wanted to call in because John McClain said something that just ticked them off. They wanted to call in. I'm like, well, 713-572-4610. It's open. Here is what this texter said, and we got a lot of messages within that time frame. If you missed John McClain, use that Odyssey app. He was with us in the entire 4 o'clock hour. But this is what John McClain had to say about potentially what Sundays could look like for the Texans with their general manager and their coaches.
Now, Nick Caserio was a quarterback in college. He coached receivers with the Patriots, but they tell me he always worked with third quarterback. He would get out and throw the ball around with them. They told me on game days, he's in the press box with headphones on, communicating with Bill Belichick and offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. And I'm guessing he's going to do that here. He'll be on the headphones communicating with David Culley and with Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator. And he will watch and maybe play a role in the development of Mills.
Are you saying you believe that during games this year that Nick Caserio will be communicating with head coach David Culley and the offensive coordinator?
Oh, just like he did at New England. I think he will. I don't see him sitting with the McNairs like Charlie Cashley and Rick Smith, Brian Gain.
Clint, I don't care where he sits. I don't care if he sits in the McNair. He has his own box, but that just does not sound like a recipe for success. That he's got to be involved like that.
No.
There you go. Thanks, Marcus.
I could be off.
No. Look, you're not off at all. I think in the capacity that we've heard discussions about Nick Caserio in the past, that John McClain was just mentioning, communicating with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels in game. Look, I just don't know what about. Now, could he have a responsibility and they say, hey, we need you charting plays? We just want to we want you piped directly in so that you can hear me call the play. But to think that Nick Caserio is on the headset communicating with those coaches as some kind of input into the game plan, I think is a stretch. I would be blown away. I'd be shocked if Nick Caserio said, "Yeah, I was giving input into play calling of some sort or some kind of adjustments that were being made." I would be absolutely blown away if it were just charting plays or charting communications between the quarterback and Josh McDaniels, the coordinator. Okay, if it's some kind of charting responsibility, that's hell. I mean, I'm sure if you and I would volunteer, they'd go over and let us chart something. I can't look. I've heard a lot of people since 2019 talk about Caserio and how much, hey, he's on the headsets in the game doing X, Y, and Z. I would be shocked.
But because this would be a little different than if Belichick, because you know it wouldn't. Nick who make the decision that he's going to have headsets and talk to the coaches. It was Belichick who said, this is a certain role that I want you to have. If that's the case, he's talking to them. In this case, I mean, Nick would be the boss, right? And that's a little different because it would be Nick making the decision to be able to talk to David Culley and the offensive staff. And he's not probably coming into just some charting thing. Hey, what are we doing here? And like,
I would be blown away because you're talking about like Lord. I would be blown away if that were the case. Now, I'm not, since we're having the conversation, I'm not opposed to him having a headset here. But not calling plays not having any communication whatsoever in terms of what they're doing on the field. But if I were Nick Caserio, like I could see where there is a big chunk of value in hearing communications. Like think about what if Davis Mills right now is the hottest conversation out there. Should he play? When will he play? How will he impact next year's draft? Yada yada yada. If you're the GM, I'll argue that you could get more out of the, let's say in a total game, you may get 30 minutes worth of communication between Davis Mills when he's playing and the offensive coordinator and the coaches communicating about what just happened or about Davis Mills or about the receiver and about what's going on. If I'm Nick Caserio, I would love to hear that. I would love to hear what the hell's going on the sideline. Is it chaotic? Is it something that you listen and you're like, there's no way a quarterback can have success with all this screaming going on and three different people in his ear and what the hell? You know, all the way down to what exactly is Davis Mills saying when he comes off the field. If he comes off the field and he sits down and he's going, hey, man, I'm seeing cover two, and they're disguising it in a quarter's look before the snap, and at the last second, if you look at the right the right cornerback, the field cornerback, if his stance is staggered, they're rolling to cover two. If his stance is flat, they're staying in quarters and he's pedaling out. If he's communicating things like that in the first quarter, hey. That's to me, if I'm a GM and I'm evaluating him, I'm going.
But Nick Caserio's got to do that. Nick Caserio's got to know that.
I'm telling you, if I'm Nick Caserio in this organization, who else is going to do it?
But why do you hire your coaches? Like, I mean,
now that's a whole different conversation.
I'm just saying, I mean, you hire your coaches to coach, right? Like, that feels like over meddling. Like, that feels like out of his. Is Jerry, did Jerry do that? Did Jerry have a line to Dave Campo?
No question. Jerry benched me. Jerry benched me against New York after threw the fourth interception.
No, he did.
It's 100%.
Did he really?
100%. Jerry called down and told Campo to bench me and put Ryan Leaf in the game.
He called down, but he didn't.
Ryan Leaf. He had Ryan Leaf. It was one of them deals like I was so hot before he couldn't pull me. I mean, we were killing it. And then I started throwing picks late in the game, and we still got the victory. We still got a W at least at our fingertips. And I throw my last pick, and I go to jog back on the field, and Leaf is going out there. And no, there's zero question about it. Emmitt Smith got into it with Campo. Emmitt was taking my back and said, Campo, you can't bench this kid. You he's played the whole game, and he had you up 24-6 at half. Now he's made a couple of mistakes. You're going to bench him? And Campo looked him dead in the eye and said, it ain't up to me. It came from upstairs. Yeah, you damn right, Jerry. Yeah.
I know Jerry's can call, but Jerry's not sitting up there with a headset.
No, Jerry. Right? Hell no, Jerry ain't. Jerry would never do that because of the perception. I'm telling you right
that's
now.
I'm just thinking, like, man, you better this David Culley coach thing better work. I can't sense a good head coach that would be cool with that.
Well, no. Let's be honest. David Culley got hired.
I know, but
because he don't have say so in that.
I'm just gonna say if this does occur, then you got to know this was just another thought of why maybe this is the direction they went at head coach.
Well, look here, show
if there, that is true. And John's not saying that he's just speculating off of what he did in New England and he could see him doing it here.
I'm not saying he should. That Nick Caserio should wear a headset. I'm not saying that he should listen in on what's going on. I'm telling you there's value. The crap we hear about what he did in New England from a standpoint of communicating with the head coach and the offensive coordinator, like I would be shocked if that was input into the game plan or input in any kind of adjustments. I'm telling you, if he's going to have a headset on, the value in having that headset on in Houston is to simply listen to what's going on, because if Davis Mills is next level mentally and ahead of the game and more mature and all this ready to play like his college head coach Shaw said, then and you will be able to hear it. You won't need to take David Culley's word for it, right? You won't need to take Tim Kelly or Pep Hamilton or whoever the hell else is going to be involved in play. It will be very, very evident with one game worth of listening to whether this kid, is he shook? Is he confused? Does he know what the hell's going on? It'll take one game to go, okay, this kid is the real freaking deal. Just by the way he comes off and communicates. I could see, I'm not saying he should, and I'm not saying he will. I'm saying that kind of headset wearing during a game, I could get down with that. I could see the value in that. But communicating with the OC and the head coach, having input? Yeah. No, man, I'd be shocked.
From the text line. From the text line, 713-572-4610. Hey, Show, hell yes, Show. He has to properly evaluate what he is seeing on the field. To me, then you've made a mistake in the coaches that you've hired. Like, to me, if you feel like you're to a point where you've got to hold a headset and got to have a direct line with the head coach and the offensive coordinator, then you've got to start looking at yourself about who you've hired. Because at some point it is, you hired those guys to do their jobs, to be the head coach and to be the offensive coordinator, and let them do their jobs.
But you're not going to trust their advice on what your quarterback is or isn't, and then turn around and make your decision on who you're going to draft in the first round based off of that.
I mean, I think you do your evaluation, but I mean, I don't think that you need to be on the headset to be.
Oh,
talking
I agree. You don't need to, but I'm just telling you there's some value in that. And let's not. Let's be honest. Again, I mean, David Culley was hired because he ain't going to tell you who to draft, and he's not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now, Nick Caserio is going to draft who the hell he wants to draft, and come game time over there, Nick Caserio is going to be a man. If Davis Mills don't play, throughout the first 8 or 10 weeks of the season, that's because Nick Caserio is ultimately making that decision. You think David Culley's going to make the decision if and when Davis Mills plays?
Thank you very much. I would agree. I would agree with that. I'm just saying I disagree with the whole stance from the start of if you feel like you got to be on the headset to talk to them through the games, then you have to question what you did in the hiring process.
Well, no, I think that's specifically why they hired.
And if that's what your plan is, if that's what you believe, this is the best courses that I got to be involved in all of this, then I And then I question you.
Not me. I'd love to put my ears on what the hell was going on, so I knew how to use my number one overall draft pick next year.
Let that happen. Let's see the head coach who's cool.
Different than the boss listening to us right now talk smack and go, "Hey man, what the hell were y'all talking about down there?"
I would be hot under the collar if in the middle of right now he called me right now and told me this is what you should switch over to talk about. I take my headphones off.
No, he wouldn't say nothing.
And I would walk out.
Nick ain't gonna say nothing. He ain't gonna call the plays. He's just gonna listen.
We'll see.
So he can evaluate.
Okay, we'll see. Texans All Access coming up behind us. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Hey, happy Mother's Day to all the
Linda,
mothers.
Linda, mom, love you. Happy Teresa, Mother's Day.
Teresa, happy birthday. We love you. Tyler.
It's her birthday, too? Happy Mother's Day,
no,
Judy.
It's not her birthday.
Judy, that's the first time you told us mom's name.
Mother. Yeah. It's not her birthday. It's just Mother's Day. All right. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Tyler, great job. I'm Ron, the show Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
When someone Look, if there is somebody out there listening right
Ooh,
now.
Yeah,
don't do that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.